in the final part of The Twelve Maidens.
The Twelve Maidens, a serial in six parts by Stuart Ferrer. Part six, The Final Round. Peter Brent and Sergeant Blake have accused Reuben Fairfax of being the leader of the Black Magic Coven, which has been trying to sabotage the Bayadar project. Fairfax is still denying it when Susan Platt arrives, and Peter accuses her of being Fairfax's accomplice.
Unfortunately, you must have shut your eyes at the critical moment. Your friend Reuben took his mask off. I expect he wanted to see properly. After all, it was the climax of the party.
You nosy little bastard.
Thank you for that admission. You know, it'd be fun to play along with Susan's story, see if we can make you believe she's a spy. But I don't think we could make it stand up. Would you care to repeat your tale in front of Rex Andrews, Susan? I've already told him my side.
You fool. You stupid, amateurish fool. You know what you're taking on, what you're blundering into. We can destroy you the way we destroyed Tom McKinnon.
Oh, I wish there was some way I could put you in jail. Tom McKinnon...
But there isn't, Sergeant, is there? Not a thing. Nor Reuben here. You can't touch either of us.
We can lose you your job, at least. In fact, I probably already have.
My job? Do you think I give a damn for that tuppenny halfpenny job? I only took it to be on the inside. I know all I need to know now. Rex can sack me tomorrow.
But Tom McKinnon died months before you
arrived. Before I got here. Don't be even more stupid.
Don't tell them too much, Susan.
It doesn't make any difference because they can't do anything about it. I've known this place for as long as the Bayadar Project has been here. Maiden Tor and the Twelve Maidens. They're mine, Peter. I'm their High Priestess, Peter. The latest in a line 4,000 years long. They called me down when Bayadar threatened them.
You're mad. Mad as a hatter.
You think so? Then tell me how I walked into a job in security and then got posted down here out of the blue.
Because of your psychical research background.
Just like that. Oh, go away, you two. Go and play with your box of tricks. But stick to it. Lie low and don't meddle, and we'll leave you alone. Get in our way and you'll wonder what hit you. Do you understand me?
Come on, George. Let's get out of this madhouse. My stomach's had enough.
Spend your spare time within reason is your private affair, Susan. But you are a security officer, and you cannot have hobbies that make you vulnerable to criticism or even blackmail.
I told you I was still interested in psychical research.
You said you were still reading it. You didn't say you were joining in naked rituals and blood sacrifices in the open air by moonlight where you could be seen, and in fact were seen.
You believe what Peter Brent told you?
Do you deny it?
I say he got it wildly distorted in his imagination.
But it did happen, even if he exaggerated it.
Oh, something of the kind happened. It was going on before I arrived here. I was interested in it from a technical point of view, if you like. But come to that, it was better for me as a security officer to be inside it than to have something as secret as that going on without our knowledge.
And so out of technical interest and professional diligence, you lay naked on the altar stone while some man whose name you haven't yet given me soaked you in fresh cockerel blood. Very edifying.
Naked? Is that what Peter Brent told you?
He did.
Oh, our little drama must have been more convincing than I thought.
Peter Brent is a healthy young male. I think he knew what he saw. His description was most graphic.
And he has a young male imagination which sees what it wants to see.
I questioned him again this morning. He gave me more information in addition to his account of Midsummer Night.
More imagination? What did he say?
I'm still checking it. Why haven't you told me the man's name?
Has he?
What is the man's name?
This is my investigation. I'm not satisfied with your attitude to it, so I intend to safeguard it until it's completed.
What is the man's name?
I'm not going to tell you. Yet.
Miss Platt, I am the senior security officer here, and you are under my command. I have no alternative but to suspend you from duty. You will not leave Bewley Towers until I give you permission.
Mr. Andrews, who's going to stop me?
Hmm?
The guard commander is entitled to prevent anyone unauthorized from coming in. He is not entitled to stop any lawful resident from going out. The army don't station fools on a project like this. He'll know his rights and duties as well as I do.
Are you challenging my authority?
You can suspend me from duty and welcome. Most of it's a bore anyway. But if you try to stop me from going where I please, I'll have you in trouble.
So now you're threatening me?
Rex Andrews, you are a career security man. And a pretty pedestrian one at that. I don't give a damn whether I keep this job or lose it, but you care about yours. I have a lot more powerful friends than you have, so I advise you not to threaten me.
And now, shall we play back the tape of this interview? Or shall I keep it for your powerful friends?
Go to hell!
So it's all out in the open now.
What happened between the girl and Andrews?
I don't know, but she came out of there in a flaming temper and slammed the door. And she jumped in her car and drove off like a bat out of hell in the direction of Fairfax's farm.
I thought I felt some anger around. I've been on edge all day.
What are you going to do?
I think some restraining is called for. We must bind those two before they go berserk. Will you be seeing Margaret?
Yeah.
Ask her to come along this evening, would you? And you and Carl, if you like.
Well, not Peter?
No, I don't think so. What we're going to do is necessary, but he wouldn't take kindly to it, I'm afraid.
But I thought wax image magic was black.
Oh, it depends what it's used for. It can be used for healing and it can be used for restraining. That's what we're going to do now, with your help.
Why mine?
Well, it needs a male and female witch. We make the images and then give them ritual birth and bind them. Bridget and I are sister and brother. Some covens might not mind that, but we would, even though the ritual is symbolic.
I see. All right, then.
Wand and pentacle and sword, work ye unto my desire, hearken ye unto my word. Cords and censer, scourge and knife, powers of the witch's blade, waken all ye unto life, come ye as the charge is made. Queen of heaven, queen of hell, horned hunter of the night, lend your power unto my spell, and work my will by magic right. By all the power of land and sea, by all the might of moon and sun, as I too will, so would it be. Chant the spell, and be it done.
We name thee Reuben Fairfax, in the names of Carnena and Aradia. We name thee Susan Platt, in the names of Carnena and Aradia. As we bind thee, we command that thou shalt be unable to do us harm, that thou shalt be powerless to injure any who are within this circle, nor our friend, Peter Brent, either now or after the circle is banished. Now you take the second image.
As we bind thee, we command that thou shalt be unable to do us harm, that thou shalt be powerless to injure any who are within this circle, nor our friend, Peter Brent, either now or after the circle is banished.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
The images are in your charge now, Margaret. Keep them somewhere safe. Have you got anywhere?
Only a wardrobe. Anyone could unlock that, I'm afraid.
There's a safe in my office. Susan Platt insisted on my having it installed in her official capacity. I think it'd be rather appropriate if you kept them there.
But mightn't she have a key?
It's a combination, and I can set my own and give it to Margaret.
Good. And Margaret, once a day during the hour of Saturn, I'll give you a list of those, take them out and draw down more power on them with your athemi. You know how?
The invoking pentagram of Earth.
Ah, that's right. Then put them away again. Any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Good. Now the cakes and the wine. George, will you take that chalice and kneel down? Now say after me. As the athame is to the male, so the cup is to the female.
As the athame is to the male, so the cup is to the female.
And conjoined, they become one in truth.
And conjoined, they become one in truth.
Now give me the chalice with a kiss. Blessed be.
I think George would make a very good witch.
Yes, Margaret, he will.
All these dull, shabby people with their snivelling little principles. How dare they stand in our way?
Be patient, Susan. I can't stand in it for long.
I've no time for milk and water virtues like patience. And how dare they sniff around this place? It's holy, it's mine.
And mine.
Only because it's mine first. I'm its high priestess, and you depend on me.
I give you power.
And I take it, and mold it, and magnify it. Without me, it would die. This place is the high priestess.
I was here before you, and my father and his father before me.
Like caretakers, waiting for the high priestess and serving her when she chose to come. In between high priestess's maiden tour, slept in your charge, that's all.
As you will.
I'm sorry, Reuben, I'm angry, that's all.
No, it's true, we are caretakers. Now, without you and the others before you, we are nothing.
Reuben, when is the dark of the moon?
9 or 10 days.
We'll work then as we've never worked before. We'll come up here and we'll raise power that Maiden Tor and the 12 maidens haven't seen since the old times. We'll make all those little people down there cry for mercy. Do you hear, little people? Do you hear, all of you? Do you hear?
But I don't quite understand, Andrews. Why was it necessary to suspend her?
She seems to have been under considerable strain, Professor. Overworking, I think. It's very difficult to stop her. Normally, I just have told her to take a week's rest or something. But she won't stop, and it would have meant a breakdown. Official suspension may sound a bit drastic, but in the circumstances, it was all I could think of.
I don't want to interfere in your province, but I'm responsible for what goes on here, and I think you should have asked me.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Or sent her along to the M.O. If he'd ordered her to rest, she'd have had no option.
Dr. Hawley is on leave, sir.
Oh, yes, so he is. Dr. Ewing, then. He's medically qualified, after all.
For some reason, Miss Platt doesn't get on with Dr. Ewing.
Really? But everyone gets on with Carl. Charming chap. Oh, I don't know. Women.
Yes, Professor.
I tell you, Andrews, I'd have an all-male staff if I could. Cooks and all. Oh, except Margaret Govan. She's got discipline and she thinks like a man. Though I doubt if she'd take that as a compliment.
On bearing 198. On range 2760.
Angle minus 0.5.
There she is. Sergeant Blake, you owe me 25 pence. That's a mare if ever I saw one.
Well, I'll trust you. But I'm damned if I know how you can tell.
Feminine intuition, George.
Here you are.
Thanks. Well, I think it's tea time.
I think you're right. I'll tell you one thing. The way you can tell male from female on the Bayadar breaks.
Yeah?
It's got better since you became a witch. I'm not just guessing. I've been keeping the score on the ones we've confirmed visually.
Well, that ties in. As Carl says, the Bayadar principal has a psychic link-up somewhere.
Yeah, tell that to Peter.
He knows, but he won't accept it. When's Bridget initiating you?
Oh, in a fortnight's time. She wants to wait for the waxing moon.
Then when they leave, we'll have our own coven down here, and you'll be my high priest.
What?
How about that? I'm sure Peter would rather it were you than anyone.
That's nice of you, love, but it might not arise. Oh? Bridget and Donald are thinking of buying that cottage.
Are they? They didn't tell me.
Well, Bridget only decided last night. We were talking after Dr. Ewing drove you home.
Bridget decided?
Well, yes.
George, you're blushing. Witches aren't supposed to be able to.
You've got your old wives' tales mixed. It's crying they can't do. Oh,
Hello. Managing all right without me?
Oh, if anything, better.
I'll fix you for that. Are you coming for tea, Maggie?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, come along to Carl's office with me first. I've got something to show you. Hello, Carl.
Hello. Well, come on in, you two.
I want to show Peter what's in your safe. May I...
Oh, yes, yes, carry on. He won't approve. I'll tell you that for a start.
Why won't I approve?
You'll see.
Very mysterious.
Yeah. Hold these a moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what are they?
Unwrap them and see.
If I may interrupt on a technical point, strictly speaking, Margaret, only you or Donald should handle them when they're unwrapped.
Who's the witch round here? You're right, though. Give them back.
Oh. Apart from the fact they're so bound up with cord that I can't see them, what are they?
Wax images.
Hmm? Well, I can see that, but who are they supposed to be?
Reuben Fairfax and Susan Platt.
What for?
To restrain them from harming us, including you.
I can protect myself, thank you.
Now, look here, you two. If you want to argue, do it outside. I've got work to do. Now, go on, Margaret, put them away. I told you they'd annoy him.
No, I'll take them with me for a bit. It'll be the hour of Saturn any moment now.
Well, one way or the other. Now, run along. There's a good girl.
Sorry, Carl.
Hour of Saturn, wax images. What the hell's happened to your brain, Maggie?
Look, you agreed we tackle the problem on all fronts, by our methods and yours, even if you didn't believe in us.
Yeah.
And that we'd back each other up. Well, this is our contribution to the present situation.
A couple of dolls tied up with blue string.
There's a hell of a lot more to it than that.
What, for instance?
All the complicated psychic forces and factors they represent.
Oh, they do they?
The whole operation's a psychic one. We've used these images as a focus for it, that's all. Donald and I put something of ourselves, of our own personalities, into these two.
Oh, Maggie.
Well, in a sense, we gave them life. We identified them with Susan and Fairfax. Then we all combined our wills in a defense against anything they could do.
We've only been playing with them. Now we're going to hit them.
All of them?
Yes, all of them. The girl first, before she gets any more powerful. She's learning fast, and we're going to tear the heart out of her. Today. And then we'll start on those two who've been teaching her.
Look, I don't mind what Donald and Bridget get up to. I like them and I think they're harmless cranks.
And when our magic circle gave you that enormous break on the Biodar screen, what was that? A phenomenon produced by harmless cranks? Your trouble is you wear blinkers. You've got a closed mind. I don't ask you to swallow anything, just to consider it.
Closed mind, my foot. I know where to draw the line, that's all. And to see a first-class scientific brain like yours going soft, that makes me sick.
And what damn business is it of yours what I do with my brain?
Because I love you, God help me.
You've got a funny way of showing it.
And I'm having to watch you go to pieces.
Who's going to pieces?
You are second childhood, playing with dolls and bits of string. Here, give them to me.
No.
I said, give them to me.
Peter.
Right.
Peter! Peter, come back!
Can't you go any faster? I want to get there. And lock the door and get my hands on that little bitch's image.
And mine.
Oh, yes, yours too. You and I, Reuben, we'll destroy her between us, inch by inch.
Peter! Peter, where are you? Peter! Peter, the images, what have you done with them? Where have you put them?
Where they belong, in the bloody incinerator.
No!
Let them burn, do you hear? Let them burn!
My God! What a mess!
Don't try it, Johnny. You can't help him.
I must have been doing 60 or 70. Smack into a wall like that. Wouldn't know a thing.
Poor devils.
Poor Roddy Devils.
Lock it at that. On bearing 252, on range 316.
Angle plus 3 degrees.
There you are, Phil. Maiden tour, perfectly normal, small life, mush, and a couple of sheep.
And it's been like that ever since yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Ever since yesterday. Blank sector suddenly cleared up.
Well, I suppose we'll never know the explanation.
No, I suppose we won't.
Thank heavens something is going right.
Yeah.
Margaret being taken ill and that dreadful accident, Susan and that fellow getting killed all in one day.
Yes, I know. Just pretty grim.
How is Margaret this morning?
Oh, quite a lot better. Carl tells me he's moved her out to those friends of his in Moor Cottage.
That odd couple, the Williams?
Yes, she gets on with them, and Carl thought it'd be more restful.
Yes, probably. I'll leave you to it. Andrews is trying to track down Susan Platt's family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem to have any.
I hope she hasn't, sir. It'll be better that way.
You have a point there, Sergeant.
Snap out of it, Peter. It's no good going around looking out the end of the world.
She won't even see me, George.
She will. Give her time.
You could hardly blame her if she didn't.
I don't blame you, Peter. You acted according to your lights. You weren't to know.
Tell that to Margaret.
I already have.
I know those two are no loss, but all the same, she thinks I killed them.
They killed themselves. I told her that, too.
Killed themselves? How so?
By making themselves channels for evil. We had every right to defend ourselves against them in our own way. And you had every right to try to rescue Margaret from what you regarded as mumbo-jumbo. They died because they'd made themselves vulnerable.
I'm sorry, Bridget, but my trouble is I'm still not convinced it isn't mumbo-jumbo.
Then it was a pretty nasty coincidence what happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's just what I think it was, a pretty nasty coincidence. But Margaret doesn't, and, she'll never forgive me.
You want to bet?
There. You see? George thinks she will, and George is clairvoyant.
And I'm supposed to believe that, too.
Peter?
Maggie?
Come and talk to me.
All right, George. I'll believe it.
Well, George.
It's a pretty drastic way for it to happen, but all's quiet now.
You feel that, too?
Yes. The others, whoever they are, they'll be too scared to carry on. And anyway, they're not in Susan and Fairfax's class, thank God.
You've a fair gift for scanning the psychic horizon, I think.
I'm scanning something a lot nearer than the horizon right now.
Are you, George?
You know what? I've heard about people being able to see auras. I told you about my aunt. And I think I can see yours now.
Only think?
Yeah, only think. I can't be sure if it's really around you or in my own mind.
George, do you remember the words of the charge?
Some of them.
And thou, who thinkest to seek for me, know thy seeking and yearning shall avail thee not, unless thou knowest the mystery. But if that which thou seekest thou findest not within thee, thou wilt never find it without thee. For behold, I have been with thee from the beginning, and I am that which is attained at the end of desire.
Oh, Bridget.
George.
Yes?
Bring me the athemi, and the wine, and the chalice.
And I've got a lousy temper, and I rush around like a bulldozer, and I never listen to other people, I know.
You have, you do, and you don't.
So, what are you going to do about me?
Go on loving you, I suppose.
You mean that?
Of course I do, you nit. I always have loved you.
But what's the joy in it for you? You're stuck on this witchcraft thing and, well, in a queer way, I think you've got a gift for it, though I don't believe in it, mind you. What kind of sense does that make?
In a queer way, quite a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, Look at all the things that have happened these last few weeks. There could be a rational explanation for each of them. Rational in the accepted sense, I mean, not in your sense.
Yes, Peter.
Well, I've got to believe that.
Yes, Peter.
Stop laughing at me, damn you. All right, so we don't know what caused the Maiden Tor blackout, and we do know it stopped the moment those two were killed. So, on the face of it, they were causing it, but how?
All right, then, how?
I don't know. But it might be something real, in some level of natural law we haven't quite cottoned onto yet.
I'm quite sure it is.
And when we put the Biodar onto that magic circle of yours, the three of you gave a break on the tube like 50 people. That's the point, 50, a measurable quantity. So this power you say you raise, it can be measured. And maybe Biodar's the first thing that's ever succeeded in measuring it. Do you see what I'm driving at?
Yes, Peter.
The whole thing might be natural. If only we can track it down, and I mean to have a damn good try.
Yes, Peter.
You're still laughing at me. Have I got to put up with that for the rest of my life?
I'm afraid you'll have to, darling. Oh, that is, if you propose to marry a witch.
That was the final episode of The Twelve Maidens by Stuart Farrar. In David H. Godfrey's production of The Twelve Maidens, Peter Brent was played by Martin Jarvis, Margaret Govan by Patricia Gallimore, Sergeant Blake by Sean Arnold, Dr. Ewing by Hayden Jones, Bridget and Donald Williams by Eva Stewart and Fraser Carr, Rex Andrews by Anthony Higginson, and Susan Platt and Reuben Fairfax by Margaret Robertson and Patrick Tull.
And as that was the final part of The Twelve Maidens, at the same time next week, we'll have Wally K. Daly's tale of an alien takeover for you in The Silent Scream. And I'm afraid it's once again time for me to pull down the shutters on the dimension for another week. But have no fear. Actually, no. No, have some fear, because next weekend we have a truly terrifying pair of offerings for you, starting with a supernatural thriller about a recurring nightmare in And When You Sleep, You Remind Me of the Dead, followed by M.R. James' classic chilling ghost story, Lost Hearts, read for us by the one and only Peter Cushing. So that's going to scare the pants off us, isn't it? So maybe wear extra pants for that. But until then, this is me, Dan Mersch, saying bye for now.
You are leaving the seventh dimension on BBC Radio 4.